I was talking to Karen Locker the other day from Solutions for E-Commerce. We all know she's a sponsor of my show. She pays me. I don't want to hide that, right? The other thing she reminded me, though, is that if you sign up for her service through my link, you get $50 off, right? You knew that. I forgot that she offers an inventory health assessment. I'm like, Karen, I probably should be talking about that. That valuable service, she's going to take a look through your inventory and help you figure it out. They're going to take care of your suppressed listings. You're tired of having stranded inventory? Is inventory getting lost? When's the last time you looked at your shipments to get them reconciled? How about refunds? Has that happened? Well, Karen takes care of all that for me. She's been doing it for almost 2 years. I pay the same rate you do, but I'm very, very pleased with the service. And two guys, two well-known guys in the area, reach out to me saying, hey, you've been with her. Are you satisfied? I'm perfectly satisfied. And again, I can message her. I get the services I need. So it's Solutions for E-Commerce. The only way you're going to get that deal is using my code Momentum. I have a link on my website. You have to go there. If you're thinking about outsourcing that piece of your business, get your inventory looked at.
Welcome to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast, where we focus on the people, the products, and the process of e-commerce selling today. Here's your host, Stephen Peterson.
Welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. This is episode 200. Yes, 200. Chris Green. You know, I come to this conclusion after seeing Chris quite a bit lately, and then actually seeing him or listening to him talk in this segment, there's a different Chris Green that you're going to hear from. And it's a mature Chris Green, and not in a negative way. It's just that it's like he's hit his stride. He knows who he is so well. He's so comfortable with it, and he's not apologizing for it. I always felt like he kind of had to apologize, like maybe he felt he was doing something wrong. He's not. I mean, he just wants to help people. He really genuinely wants to help people. And the challenge for Chris is his mind thinks so fast. He has so many ideas. It's hard to take sometimes, but he wants to help you. That's it. Doesn't ask for a thing. Never asked me for anything. I force him on my show. And I was like, do you want to pitch something? Go right ahead. He's like, I got nothing to pitch. I'm like, well, okay, you know. And that's what's so cool. But it's a mature, it's just such a cool thing to see. Let's get into the podcast. All right, welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. I'm so excited because this is my 200th episode. Is that crazy, Chris? I mean, just think about that.
That is crazy.
It's crazy.
I have no idea. A lot of people start things and don't finish them, or they don't get the success they want early on, so they quit early. So, I mean, when you got to 100, we were like, yes.
You were like number 100. What's so cool about number 100? What's cool about 100 is a gentleman who I met, who I just really become friends with, relatively local to me, made me a sign for 100. I put it up on there. And so it was your interview, number 100. Guess what he sent me last week? The number 200 sign. I already have it.
Nice.
And it's gold. I'm like, oh my God, this guy's so talented and so it's so thoughtful. But, you know, I have to have you on because it's number 200. You were number 100, my 100th episode, which is a big deal to me. I saved it. Everybody's like, you should have had Chris on earlier. And you're right. I should have, because you have such influence and such a big following. But that wasn't why I was doing it. I was kind of saying, wait, 100's the big deal for me, and it's got to be Chris. And so that's what I thought in my mind. So it was my show. That's what we were doing. Well, guess what? Now it's number 200. The only person, of course, has to be on is Chris. And so welcome back, Chris Green. Welcome back.
Well, we're going to try to make this the best show, you know, a little like competition we're going to put in there in a good way, right? Because then someone else can come in and be like, I want mine to be the best show. And who wins when you have a competition like that? The listeners. They win because they have everybody stepping up, trying to bring the most value to your podcast. And that's what you've earned by putting in this work.
You know, it's when I was in Atlanta. So last week I was at your conference. The week before I was in Atlanta at Jeff Cohen's Seller Labs Resonate conference. And Jeff got up there and he said, you know, who has been on Stephen's podcast? And this, you know, there were only 100 people in this room. It's very, very, you know, advanced group. And I had interviewed about 25 of them. And he goes, who wants to be on it? And I was shocked when about 15 hands went up. I was like, wow, that really said something to me that, you know, that we've been able to connect. And all I do is help tell your story, period. I don't do anything much more than that. But it's been very, very humbling and very cool. And then I get to go the following week to your place. Man, I knew almost every single person in that room. was an exciting group. It was an exciting group of people.
It's a very, very unique type of conference, and people always ask, you know, what's different about it? And it's when you can show up and just know so many familiar faces, and it's the same. It's the vibe, and it's hard to sell a vibe or explain a vibe, but it's just a different vibe where people are all open, they're friendly, they're sharing, they're not the stereotype Amazon seller who's secretive and paranoid and, you know, don't want to reveal secrets. No, you come and you have a good time, and everybody's like, this is the best conference I've ever been to. And I'm thankful. But then I look up at the stage and we got, you know, we don't have the big fancy speakers. We don't have like the high tech setup and all this. It's just the people. It's, there's nothing special about a conference having like equipment and you know, all this stuff. It's just getting the right people together and just getting out of the way.
It was what we try to intimate. Do at our conference. I think it was intimacy. I mean, that's what it felt like to me, because you literally could pop in the hall and you were like that. Look, please don't sit up in here and listen to these people. If you want to have an important conversation, go in the hallway, have that conversation, because it's going to help advance your business more than this conversation up on the stage right now. Go do it. And
yeah,
that felt right. I saw people doing it.
There's no secrets, right? We were recording this stuff anyway.
Right.
So we're like, and no one's going to get up here and say something that they've never said anywhere else, right? Like almost everything's on YouTube. It's on Facebook. You know, but I've seen this enough. Like I said, I've been in the Amazon world for a decade now. I mean, it sounds weird to say a decade.
You're an old man.
It seems like it, yeah. But, you know, I've just seen so many people either looking for secrets or, like, I'm always wondering, like, what is it that someone needs to move forward? Right. Like, what's holding someone back? And I've kind of deciphered and like reverse engineered what these things are. And it's not going to a conference and sitting in a chair, you know. But if you need to hear Steven Peterson say the same thing that I've been saying for 10 years and now you're gonna take action, good. Right. Like, I don't care. As long as you get what you need. If it's like having a conversation with someone in the hallway, if that's what it takes, good. Get that conversation and move forward. Because that's the thing. We want everybody to get what they need and move forward. And it's different for everybody. So we can't sell you a package. If I knew what you needed and I could put it in a jar and sell it to you, I would. But that's not how it works. That's what a lot of people are looking for. Who has the jar that I need? Who has the product I can buy so I can finally be successful? It's like, that's not what it is. I wish it was.
But you said something, though. Sometimes it takes a different person saying it. You know, I mean, think about it with your kids. Sometimes I'm sure, at least in my house, my wife, you know, disciplining our kids, and I'd come home and I'd be like, you got to do this. And they'd be like, okay. And they go and do it. And she's like, I've told them to do that 6 times, Steve. And they didn't listen. Sometimes it takes a different person or to hear it. It's almost like an affirmation. I said to somebody the other day, it's like we're just affirming something you already know. You're almost just looking for permission, maybe. You see that?
Yeah, I mean, like, human psychology is fascinating when you get into it, but it is very true what you're saying. You just need to hear it from someone else. And Gary Vee did a thing where he told this, like, 20-year-old, you know, like, how to, you know, get control of their life, whatever that video was about. And then the mom of this girl wrote Gary a long email saying thank you, and, like, I've been telling her this for years. And she had, like, another example from her work where, like, she took, like, 6 employees that she had to some conference and, like, they said, hey, we got to do social media. And they're like, hey, we got to do social media. And the lady was like, I've been telling you guys that for months. Why didn't you guys do it? Well, we just needed to hear from someone else. But instead, I mean, it's still the reaction that matters. You can't be like, well, you're stupid. Why didn't you listen? Like, who cares? Who cares? Well, as long as they got what they need and go forward, like, hey, I don't care who you heard it from. I'm glad you're on board and let's move forward.
But why do some people not hear it? I mean, because I'm guilty of it from time to time. I mean, why don't we hear it?
Oh, everybody is. And I don't know. I mean, because I'm guilty of it as well. I hear people saying, you know, hey, you need to get on social media. You need to get on Instagram, right? And I'm like, yeah, I know. And then I don't do it. And then, like, when someone else says it, you're like, you know what? And maybe that's it. It's just the way human psychology works. Where if you see someone who might be like an unexpected character to be like, hey, wait a minute. I've heard this Instagram thing, but now this guy who I wouldn't have thought would have such success is killing it. Well, you know what? If he can do it, maybe I can do it. Maybe that's what it is. You have to, like, have something that relates back to you somehow. Yeah, it has to have some kind of additional context. And, hey, if that's what it is, you know, it's going to be different for everybody. So we can't solve everybody's, you know, what's causing people not to take action. But, hey, if we solve just one person's inability to take action, with the show, then that's good.
I agree. And it, at least in my case, it doesn't come from an envy or a jealousy point. It just comes from a, how am I going to fit it in? That's where a lot of my stuff goes. Because something has to give, right? When you have to, when you, at least in my world, when I'm taking on something, something's going to give because I have very little, limited time left in my day. And so it's like, ooh, what's the cost and where's the benefit? And then I'm going to like, all right, what am I going to get rid of? And that's hard. I don't like getting rid of stuff.
No. I mean, everything's like a cost, Ben. I mean, everything takes time, right? And that was Gary Vee's thing for like this kind of first phase when he was doing keynotes, like, you know, probably 3, 4, 5 years ago. And he was telling people, guys, brands, companies, you've got to get on social media. And people was, you know, his clients would kick back. Where are we going to find time for this? You know, like you find time, stop watching television, stop going on Facebook so much. Like everyone has time. It's a priority thing, right? Like audit your day. Where are your priorities? What are you getting done? What are you not getting done? And a lot of it, I've been meaning to do this as a like a presentation thing to get people to realize they can work stuff.
This is fresh stuff. Go. I like fresh stuff from Chris. You don't get fresh stuff. Well, you know what? Because you, well, I shouldn't say that. I don't mean it sound like that because that sounds like you don't know what you're talking about. You've got so much information and you know, 16 ways to make money on Amazon. I've heard you give that pitch so many times and I'm always like, I don't remember that one because you have so many of them. But a new, brand new, and you haven't given it, I'm in. Give it.
All right, well, I'll explain it here, but anybody that listens is going to know. All right, so you guys can't come up on stage if you come to a presentation or something, if you know, like, the end of this. But I want to get someone up on stage and give them a task and say, look, your task is to blow up these balloons, put them in this box, tape it up, and tie a string around it, right? Like, whatever the task is, just something that takes, like, some manual, like, effort and some time, right? But nothing hard. And don't tell them anything else. That's it. And like, continue talking to everybody else while this guy sits over on the side. And does this project, and then say, all right, that took, I was secretly timing you, that took you 5 minutes and 32 seconds. Now, if someone can come up here and beat that time, I'll give you $100, right? And Boom. Guess what? Everybody will come up and work hella faster, right? Because this guy didn't know he was on the clock. This guy wasn't thinking there was a prize. This guy wasn't thinking, if I get this done, there will be time for something else. And I've got to believe, and I don't go to everybody's FBA warehouse and prep center and garage and basement and see how people prep. But I know how I've prepped, and there are definitely days where I'm hustling, and I'm trying to get this stuff done. I'm like, I got a plan. I have this much product, and I want it on the truck today. They come at 4:30. I need to work fast. And when you work fast, you get a lot more done. But I got to believe that probably 80% or more people out there prepping their FBA shipments could be working harder and faster, which means if you go in there with the idea of like, no, I'm going to get it done today, you're going to get more stuff shipped, or you're going to get it shipped faster, which is going to give you time to source, or give you time to play with your kids, or give you time to start an Instagram account. Whatever it is, how fast and how hard are we really working? And it's tough because this is an isolating business where it's really easy to sit there with the radio on. You don't have someone there kind of pushing you. You don't have someone there kind of being like a friendly competitor to be like, this is how much I got done. How much did you get done? Right? You don't have that. So it's really easy to kind of get the minimum done, to go through the motions, just go walk through the process. And man, I tell you, if there was a prize, $100 bill at the end, if you got your FBA shipments done 30 minutes faster, I think a lot of people will be hustling.
No doubt. You know, since I've left my, and so I'm a good example of this. I guess I'm not even a month out since I retired. I am having trouble getting stuff done, right? I'm not disciplined. I'm not organized. Where I had a ritual. I mean, I had a, you know, I had to be a certain place. Man, I had this in 1 hour. You'd be shocked what you can get done in an hour. Basically the same thing you're saying. And I was able to knock it out. Now I'm sitting here saying, okay, well, I got till noon. I don't have to be. I got Chris's interview at 1:00. I got good time. I could spend a little extra time. And guess what? I filled time.
Yeah.
And it affects you.
It's harder than it sounds, right? Yeah. That's why it takes practice. It takes some discipline. It takes some days of failing, right? And that's where people need to, like, get over. They're like, oh, I failed. Because I know what that feels like to be like, oh, I wasted yesterday. And then you kind of dwell on yesterday. And then you waste half the next day. And then you're like, maybe I'm not. It's like, screw it. What's done is done. I'm going to attack today. I'm going to do my best with what I got in front of me. And I mean, there was like a Grant Cardone video I watched yesterday where he's like, I take a bad day and I make it a good day. I make it a great day.
Hmm.
You know, because like, what else are you going to do? You're just going to like sit there and take it? You know, and I was like, this guy's got a great attitude. I love it. You know, I haven't watched a lot of his stuff. It was like one of the first videos I watched. And I was like, and that's what I remembered. I was like, dude, if you're having a bad day, make it a great day. What can you do to turn that day around?
It's a choice.
I've been thinking on that since last night.
It's a choice.
It is.
Well, let's talk about this.
Because the day doesn't care about us, right? Like, the day is just a day.
I want to talk about this. Personal. You know, I look back to our last interview, and I remember in this comment, it says, you're not an entrepreneur. You made that comment.
I would say that. I think we have the wrong definition. Yeah.
Well, that was 100 episodes ago, which is more than a year, right? Or about a year. Has that changed? I see a change in you. So I'm just going to make that statement. I have seen a change in Chris Green in 100 episodes. Do you feel like you're changing?
Oh, I absolutely feel like I'm changing. I mean, I look back, you know, eBay in the 90s, you know, to what we did with Amazon, you know, the decade after that. Here we are, 2017. You know, and it's not just me changing. The world's changing. Amazon's changing. Social media is changing. And I think we all need to change along with it. And that is very difficult to do, because once you like get in some groove, you're like, yeah, okay, this is what I was made for, and then boom, it changes. Right now you're like, no, I don't want to change. You know, it's like natural human reaction is to be averse and avoid change. But change is good. I mean, the changes that we have access to, right? And I'm sure we'll talk a lot about the Amazon side of things. You know, things that exist now that didn't exist when we did episode 100, and certainly didn't exist before you started the podcast. You know, like, they're fresh and they're new and they're exciting and you're first movers and you're first, like, it's incredible. You know, I saw another thing on Facebook about being first, and people remember the first light beer, right? Miller Lite.
Mm-hmm.
Your favorite beer.
Is it
the best beer?
No, it's terrible.
It's not even the best light beer.
No, I know.
But
I'm disappointed.
It was the first light beer, and we're still talking about it. Right? Because you were first. And I'm aware that I was first to be like the Amazon FBA guru, right? I was never the best seller. I was never even the best guru or coach, but I was the first. So I'm remembered, and like, I've got that advantage that'll never go away, even though I don't even sell or coach FBA anymore. Right? Because I was first.
How do you handle, though, the criticism? Because you take a lot of heat about, you know, oh, you know, he was just selling tools back in, you know, back when it was easy. It's easy relative to today, but back then it was new. So nothing's easy, right? None of that's easy. And it's not fair. We're looking at it with today's glasses, with all the tools we have today that didn't exist, right? I always say that about eBay.
No joke.
You know,
yeah.
There was nothing. I mean, it was like, take a picture, right? So it's easy to say that. But how do you handle that criticism? You know, looking back, well, you weren't the best seller. I mean, you say it kind of tongue in cheek, but back then you were pretty advanced. And yeah, how do you handle that? Because I run into it a little bit, and it's a little tough to take.
Well, I mean, that's a big question, and I can get into some of the nitty-gritty details on that, but I want to give, like, the overview so that people can, like, if they're in, like, a position like me or a position like you, that they have a better understanding, and they can, like, kind of lean on our experiences and not make any mistakes that maybe you have made or certainly
right.
That I have made. You know, when I mean, I had advantages, right? Like, when I was selling power tools, I was early FBA. You know, and there were different rules. I was FBAing lithium batteries, right? I was FBAing stuff that wasn't in retail packaging. So I was breaking batteries out and sending them in as new, because those were the rules. They hadn't put in new rules yet. And I had high ASP, average sale price. I was selling $90 batteries, right? Like, I had a lot of advantages. But we did not have iPhones. We did not have 4G. We did not have any apps that
you had dial-up, for God's sake, didn't you?
Oh, like eBay days, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how
okay,
you did
so
it.
Okay, so even
but,
FBA,
I mean, there
you
was
were...
no sales rank,
no.
Right? There was no, well, let's check the sales volume based on sales rank in this category. There was none of that. So I mean, it was a different world. But, you know, I did take some heat. And probably one of my biggest mistakes, but there's two of them in here, was one, is like, I'm going to be the best seller, and I'm going to be the best guru and the best vendor all at the same time, right? And no, absolutely. I mean, in my experience, I can't see anybody trying to be the best at like three different things
right.
at once.
Right.
let alone two different things, right? I should have tried to either be a big seller, try to be just a guru instead of trying to be both. And a part of me did it, I'll admit it, to show them, right? Like, I'll show you, I'll do them both and I'll be best. And that's the biggest mistake, was trying to convince the unconvincible, because in the sense they're unconvincible, like if someone's going to be like a hater or like be real negative or down on somebody, then even if you prove them wrong, it's not going to be like, right, oh, wow, Chris Green is actually super cool and can do, but like, it wouldn't have mattered. Right. So it was a complete waste of time and effort to do something like that, to try to prove them wrong, or I'll show you. I should have just been like, hey, I am who I am. I'm going to go all in on what I feel is my strengths. And if you don't like it, I'm sorry. But there's not, I mean, keep following me if you want, but I'm going to do my own thing. And hey, you can keep talking about me. And I wasted months, if not years, you know, trying to convince people that, you know, what I felt was right was actually right, instead of just being like, hey, it's right to me. I got a whole army of people over here who like what I'm saying and what I'm doing. Why would I spend 1 second of my time trying to bring people from this other side over to my army? Because that's an expense. That's an opportunity cost of helping my army.
That's what I was going to say. What would you have done with that time if you didn't do that? What would you have done different?
You help the people that want help. Okay. You help the people who like what you're doing. You help the people who aren't there to criticize and be negative and all that stuff. And that's, everybody should do that. Like, if you're putting out a podcast, if you're starting an Instagram account, if you're doing anything, and you got people who are trying to put you down, get away from that.
Right.
You know, like, and I say that you have to say, look, there's a difference between criticism and negativity, right? Someone might tell you your podcast sucks.
Yeah.
Because it sucks. And you need help and you need to improve it. Like, that's feedback to say, hey, look, you're right. Thank you for telling me it sucked. I didn't realize the audio was really bad because I never listened to my own replay before I uploaded it. Like, sometimes you need that, right? But then there's the people who just they don't want to see you succeed. So they're going to be super negative. And not everybody handles it well. So, I mean, that's like your original question, is how do you handle it?
Right.
You know, I handle it better now. I didn't handle it.
Why?
As well.
Why do you handle it differently?
I got experience with it, right? Like, I've seen, you know, and I do feel bad for people that are incredibly negative, because it's, I just can't imagine living that way.
Well, there's a root cause, something caused that in their past. I mean, somewhere there's something wrong.
There's something, they're lashing out. And that's why if someone's in that position, don't take it personal. Realize someone's got something going on. And what I like to say, and it's like an internal kind of joke, is like, I don't know what the heck happened to that guy in high school, but I hope he gets over it, right? And it might not be a high school thing. It might be something else. It might be some, like, really bad thing that happened to somebody that has caused them to have a very poor or negative world outlook or outlook on other people, where they think everybody's out to get them and you have to be protective. There are things that happen in people's lives that lead them to have that conclusion, where they have to be protective and they have to always be on guard because they think someone's out to get them. Like, that comes from somewhere. And that sucks that someone's gone through that. Right. So I don't take it personal. I don't go after people. I don't, I wish everybody well, you know, but you know, you can't let it affect you, and you don't want to stop what you're doing. You don't want someone to say, hey, you know, your Instagram is stupid, and be like, well, I don't want to put out Instagram anymore, because some no name like Gary Vee, I mean, how many times are you going to quote Gary Vee, right? He put out a video saying, if some no faced avatar on YouTube gives you a negative comment, who cares?
Right.
Like, do not let that stop you from what you're doing. Right. Like, delete the comments. If you don't like seeing them, you can block people from your accounts on Facebook. They can block them from their pages. You can block, they don't even see them. Like, don't be afraid to do that. If that makes you feel better to block somebody, do it. Get that negativity out of your life. If you got to filter things to where you're not being brought down, then do it. Like, who cares? Right. Like, who are you trying to keep happy by not blocking somebody? You know, like, there's no benefit to that, but I empathize with people who struggle, because no one likes to be a target. No one likes to have anything bad or negative said about them. But it's just the world. You know, some people, it's like Batman and the Joker. They just want to see the world burn. Some people just come across very poorly on Facebook. So while they're trying to, might be like sarcastic or something, you see as an attack or a negative comment. So just don't take it personal. Be glad that they're watching anything, right? Because here's a stat. This is a YouTube stat. Every minute, 40 hours of video are uploaded.
Say that again.
Just on YouTube. Every minute, 60 seconds, 40 hours of video are uploaded to YouTube. All right? So you literally cannot watch. Like, it's completely impossible to watch everything that's out there. Right? So I say that as there's a lot of choice. So if someone has, I'm going to watch 1 minute on YouTube, they have a choice of 40 hours of content just fresh, let alone the stuff that's already on there. So if they're watching your video, be thankful, whether they're like positive or negative. Hey, they made a choice to watch your video or read your comments or join your group or watch your Instagram, like whatever it is. Like, if you got some kind of attention, be thankful and then just go from there and try to provide as much value as you can to that audience, because you may find that you turn people around. I've had people who I wasn't their cup of tea at the beginning, but now we're buddies. Now they come to Scam Power Conference and we go out and have beers every single time. And there were people that at the beginning, it was oil and water. We were like, we were not getting along. All right. So don't write people off. Don't like say, hey, no, never, never. You know, just provide as much value as you can without getting personal about it, without worrying. You know, I don't know if this advice is going to make the perfect sense for everybody.
No, I think, you know what? You've matured. I'm just telling you. So I sit here and listen to you. Not that you ever had an edge. I never got a vibe of an edge from you. You had an assuredness about yourself, but you never had an edge. But there's a absolute maturity and a confidence in your comments, almost fatherly. What did you just turn 40?
I'll turn 40 this year. I'm still
going to be 40. You're going to be 40. Well, you've grown into that role. Interesting.
Oh, absolutely. Because I've been in this game for a long time. I mean, I would say I am well aware of some Facebook kind of, I don't say group dynamics, doesn't necessarily have to be in groups. But I feel I could definitely coach somebody on starting a group and what, you know, just how to run it and how to not jump to conclusions and how to, you know, just be good, because I've seen, you know, conflicts. I've seen real conflicts. I've seen, you know, like invented stuff. I've just seen it all. And this is one of those things you can't teach. Comes from experience to where, like, you can identify and be like, okay, this is what's going to happen here. I mean, I got a post in my merch group right now where I posted something that's a little political, but it's on a t-shirt, so people are talking about the design, and now the, you know, the group's getting all political about it, which makes people say, why is this in here? I thought this was a merch group, not a political group. And it is. It's a merch group, not a political group. I mean, I don't have to go in there and be heavy-handed about it. I mean, I kind of knew this would happen. But it gives you a point of context with people, so you can provide value to them. You can show people you're a real person and that you care about, you know, them getting value in your group. And once you have that, then they're like, okay, this guy's cool, right? Any point of context you can make with people, especially giving them a positive experience, is going to be like, okay, cool. I like this guy. I know this guy. I trust this guy. I want to follow this guy. And having attention and having an audience, you're a podcaster. That's the most valuable thing.
I get it. Wow. All right. This is the mature segment. Wow. No, you know what? I'm loving it, because I think you're spot on. I think somebody had to say it. Let's do this. Let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to actually talk Amazon, because you've learned a few more things about Amazon. That's what blows me away. I'm telling you, I've seen you. I've been watching you now for a couple of years. We met a few years ago, maybe three. And I've watched you speak. And your talk now, you've added new things in. And I'm always like, no, never heard of that. You're always like, oh, I'm sure everybody's heard of this. And I'm thinking, am I the only guy in the back that would actually raise it? I won't raise my hand because I'm too embarrassed because nobody else is. And I'm thinking, oh my God, how does he know this? So let's take a break, come back and talk about it. You've heard me talk a lot about Private Label, and Andy Slammons is back with a new free course. It's the Smart Private Label course. S stands for selecting a product. M, manufacture with the right supplier. So important. Amazing photos, keyword research, and listing preparation is the A. R stands for ranking your product to the first page of search. We all know how critical that is. And then T is taking your product to the top of Amazon and beyond. This is a free course. It's going to help you get that foundation to do your own private label productness. You want to work smarter. Get it smarter. AmazingFreedom.com/smart. AmazingFreedom.com/smart. Tell Andy I sent you. I'm telling you, it's awesome. I love to see somebody who hit their stride. I mean, it's just so cool to see somebody get comfortable in their skin. In this segment, we're going to talk about just a lot of what's going on with Amazon and changes that we're seeing and how to take advantage of them. I think there's such a great opportunity right now to take advantage outside of just FBA. And don't get me wrong, we're FBAers, right? Majority of our sales come through FBA. I think we have inventory in 28 states now, right? I'm not saying not to do that, of course, but you want to do something else. You want to have something else, another channel, if you will, and merch is one. We're approved, not doing it really, but I might use a third party to help me do it. Why not, right? Or all these other things that Chris talks about. I just think that this is such a great opportunity now that you have this skill set, as he talks about, and you could actually help others with that skill set. Figure out what else you want to do that you enjoy and expand into. I just think it's such great advice. Let's get back into the podcast. All right, we're back and we're talking with Chris Green, who, you know, has just, it fascinates me. You know, I think back to our last interview again, that you are not an entrepreneur, but you are the biggest idea guy. So you have to partner up. I mean, that's probably what made you and Paul work so well together, right? Because he's the operations guy. I mean, he's the guy who down in the trenches, that's his thing, right?
Yeah, Paul's an entrepreneur.
Right? Interesting.
I teamed up with an entrepreneur. And the way that I describe entrepreneurs, I mean, you could make some controversial post about this, calling people out as not being entrepreneurs. But I think most Amazon sellers that are, you know, typical Amazon sellers, sourcing arbitrage and wholesale private label stuff, are not entrepreneurs. And I say that because I mean, look at the definition of an entrepreneur, right? Like, I'm not trying to redefine it here. But most people have zero employees and do not have a business that they could actually bundle up and sell.
Right.
Right. They're an owner-operator. They haven't outsourced anything.
Solopreneur is a good term. I think in some cases that's a reasonable term.
Give it a solopreneur. You know, and I don't even want to say it's a controversial statement, but I do think there's a little grain of truth in here that I think people forget is when they say these solopreneurs are willing to work 80 hours a week to avoid working 40 hours a week for someone else. And part of that sentence is like, yeah, that's me. You know, I don't work for someone else. Then I'm like, dude, you're working twice as hard, right? You're working twice as many hours, which for some people, that's what they want to do. As long as they work for themselves, that's fine.
But isn't it the old business, though, back in the Wild West, the guy who put a shingle on the outside of his, you know, hey, I can do something with fur or, you know, whatever. And then, boom, all of a sudden he puts out making coats or whatever. And he was a single guy. And then eventually he gets an employee or whatever. That's what a lot of this Amazon business is today, right? I mean, in essence, you know, in a weird way.
It's people having, you know, an opportunity to, you know, you could say scratch that entrepreneurial itch, right? Like a lot of the people that we work with and network with have real jobs, regular jobs, and most of them don't want to quit their jobs. They might say they do, but if it came down to if they had the choice, I bet most of them would not. But they want to have something that gives them, you know, a little sense of accomplishment. They might want to have something that gives them confidence to say, hey, if something happens to my job, I know I can make money on the side. Or they just really enjoy it, right? They're not even necessarily doing it for the money, but they like the idea of running a little side hustle or a side business. Whatever those reasons are, you know, we're all in this together. That's the thing. But I just want people to you know, identify themselves correctly, not be like, yeah, I'm an entrepreneur. And I'm like, no, by definition, not. You're not.
No,
because if you don't know where you are or who you are, how are you going to like get to where you want to go, right? Like,
I'm okay with that term. I'm very clear. I'm not, and I'm risk averse, which makes it even harder for somebody like me because you know, I'm not willing to bet it all on seven. Where a real entrepreneur, I mean, that's what they do. You know, they're up and down every day. So let's talk Amazon. Let's talk what's going on in Amazon because it is changing. And what, it's going to change tomorrow, do you think?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Amazon, I mean, I was about to say it's an entrepreneur's paradise, but it's really even more of a paradise. It's a solopreneur's paradise, right? If you have some kind of value to offer, whether it's a product or information or being a consultant for someone else who could, you know, benefit from understanding all Amazon's platforms, whatever it is, if you have that knowledge, then you can bring that value to market and earn some money on it, whether you're earning margins and profits or you're earning royalties or you're earning consultation fees. I mean, it's just so wide open. And that's almost the problem with it is there are so many options that people get overwhelmed.
So well, they're exciting. They're very exciting.
You know, and everybody wants, I don't want to say everybody. Well, a lot of people want to do all
And here's
of
the problem. You make them look glamorous, Chris. You do.
They are glamorous.
I mean, you get up there and you talk merch, and I'm like, oh, shoot, I should be doing, oh, I got to go do this. Oh, wait, Create Space. Oh, Steve, write that book. You got a book in your head. Start writing the book, and I'm literally in the back. Start typing the book, and then all of a sudden, wait, no, I got to go to this one. That's what happens. I mean, it's true.
That's a confirmation that people should see this. Is like, oh, everybody gets excited about all these different things. I need to get in this somehow. I need to learn as much as I can. And there's so much information. It's all out there, and most of it's free. And learn all this stuff, and then figure out where you want to plug yourself in. Like, where do you best fit, and go all in on that. You know, like you're clearly succeeding with podcasting, right? Where like where no one else has. A lot of people have tried to do an Amazon podcast, and they get a few episodes in, and they quit, either because they don't have the connections to get so many episodes, or because, you know, they just can't follow through, or they're just not made for it. Not everybody can host a podcast, right? Like, I would probably be terrible at hosting a podcast because I would just talk over my guests the whole time, right? I'd want to say what I want to say and like not step back, or I'd want to interject on everything. I'm probably doing it to you right now. Like, I would not be a good podcast host. It would be silly for me to start a podcast that I host. I've thought about
it. So that means you failed. I just want to say that, right? That's the truth, though, isn't it? But that's the problem right there. Let's just stay on this, though. Here's the thing, though, Chris. Because you didn't start one, or mentally you started one and then it just, you know, you realize, hey, this is really hard. All of a sudden you failed. Now, my argument is no, you recognize that's not your skill set. The good news for you is you recognize that's not your skill set before you started. That's so important right there. But that doesn't mean you failed, right?
No. That's the problem. I've failed at tons of different things. And a lot of failures that I know would cripple people. They'd be like, right. Oh, if I did that, I would just walk away. I would never come back. Like, who cares? Like, that's the whole, like, being worried about what other people think kind of thing. And, like, the psychology of that is very, very strong. Like, it is really hard to put something out there, have people either criticize it or even just say nothing and not like it, right? Mm-hmm. Like you expect to get some reactions, some comments. You want the hearts on Instagram, and you don't get them. And you start taking it personal instead of being like, okay, what I put out there, what I gave the market didn't like, right? The market ain't personal. The market don't care. Take it as feedback to be like, hey, what I put out there wasn't good. No one liked it. What can I do to make it better? What can I do to improve? Take it as feedback, not as failure.
But that's where I was going with it, was what you were saying is that, okay, this isn't Chris's channel. The beauty of Amazon and all these other places. Okay, now let me go to the next one. Let me go to FBA. Okay, that's not his channel. Okay, let me go to selling information to do FBA. That might be your channel. You know, I think of Nate McAllister, right? I mean, he will tell you he's not the best seller, never was, but he's a darn good marketer, right? That's his thing. That's his lane, and he likes it.
And he enjoys it. Yeah. That's the thing. It's not that just that you're good at it, but you also enjoy it. That's when it's not work anymore. That's when you wake up and you're like, yeah, let's go. Like, I'm ready. Like, this is what I want to do. And the fact that we make money doing it, we have options that our ancestors simply didn't have.
Absolutely.
Right? Like, our ancestors had skills that were never realized and never tapped into because they didn't live in 2017. Right? Like, the best writers in the world never got their words out to the masses because they didn't live in an age of the printing press, or let alone the Kindle. Right? Like, we always consider the best writers. Well, they also had access to, you know, tools and distribution to get their books printed. Doesn't mean they were the best writers. You know, the best writer could, like, the best preacher could be at, you know, some church anywhere, who knows where, but you never hear about him because he's not on Facebook and he didn't write a book and he didn't get on YouTube and, you know, like. So
let's give real value. I want to give real value here because I think this is a really important point. What do you do to that seller who's struggling with FBA, who's struggling A, to get ungated, or struggling because they're never going to become a viable retail business that's going to be able to buy products wholesale and sell them retail? Okay, they're just not. That's not in them. That's not their DNA or whatever. They're wired. How do you get them to say, don't give up? Because I've seen some people giving up lately, and it breaks my heart because I'm like, man, that doesn't mean anything. You know, okay, I'm not the greatest at this. I just don't do it. I'll work harder at this because this seems to fit for me. How do we get that message out there and say, you know, like you always say, merch is a great example. You don't have to be a great graphic person, you can hire those services out. You know, Brendan and Kyle are offering some services I see recently. You can hire those services out. But boy, if you could come up with blah, 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 or if you can do this piece of it, you might be in your lane. How do we help people get past that point and experience? I wish there was a way to see all 16 or 18 methods to be able to pick and choose what my personality would fit with more. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's tough because I'd love to put out like some kind of Amazon survey where, hey, if you take this survey or this like personality test, then at the end it's going to say you should be doing merch.
Period. Right? Like you're just drop everything else. You are Mr. Merch, no matter what.
But it doesn't work that way. But I want to even address something at the beginning of that because you say someone who's selling and they're not having success and you know they're like frustrated, so they want to like look at something else. Just the fact that they have been selling. Is more valuable than people give it credit for. And that's the imposter syndrome that you've probably heard me talk about. It's a real thing. It's on Wikipedia. So, you know, I'm the only one who seems to talk about it. I think people are like trying to give me credit for it when it's not. It's like it's a real thing out there. And that's where people discount the value of the information they have. Simply understanding how to sell on FBA is a very, very valuable thing to have, like just to know that stuff. And here's an example. I hired a trademark lawyer. It was $350 an hour. Went and I sat with him for an hour, asked him all the most common questions because I wanted to get like real answers from a lawyer. And then we talk for a little bit. He finds out like I'm this Amazon guy, I know all this stuff. And he's like, hey, that's cool. You know, I got like a guy who's got like a counterfeit case. Maybe I'll call you. I was like, yeah, sure. So he calls me. And I thought he was like calling like he's like forgot to pay a bill or something. He's like, hey, I want to hire you to be my Amazon guy. I was like, okay, cool. But like, let's just trade. Like you be my trademark guy and I'll be your Amazon guy. He's like, yeah, perfect. Just come on in and we'll chat. So now I'm basically hired for $350 an hour to go in and explain FBA to a lawyer, to explain third-party marketplace, FBA, like supply chain and Amazon versus FBA, stuff that any FBA seller could do. I promise. Like I went in and like I didn't feel like I answered any hard questions in here, but he was thrilled. He was like, thank you so much. This is the information I need. Perfect. I'm so glad we met. And then we went out to lunch. Like we're buddies now, right? But that knowledge, people discount it. Right. So
but you wrote a book, Chris. You wrote a book, so that means you're smarter than everybody, right? You figured all that out, right? That you invented all that stuff that was in your book, right?
Oh yeah, I was just the first. We already talked about this being the first.
Right. And I'm playing on it, but it's true. I agree with you. I know exactly where you're going, and it's so absolutely true. I guess last week when you said this, how many people, you know, if we go downtown would still know what FBA stands for, right?
Oh, none.
They would, none of them. They all those
one
businesses.
Out of 100, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. That's amazing. So
and that's where I go back to I wish there was a survey to kind of help people kind of guide them to where they want to go. And the best I can do is just keep putting out information to let people know about things like CreateSpace for publishing, Kindle for publishing. Merch for t-shirts and more. It'll be so much more than just t-shirts.
Well, you made this statement. I'm going to get this out here so you can officially say it on the record again, that your belief is that merch at all is going to be bigger than FBA. Fair?
When I say bigger than FBA, I mean, there's 100 ways to measure things, right?
Okay.
What I'm measuring it by is how big of an opportunity it is and for how many people.
Okay. So that's what you're saying.
Without a doubt. Well, I mean, take selling. Not everybody's going to be a seller. Not everybody has the capital to open up.
Well, there's 2 million sellers, right? There's 2 million sellers, they say.
I think there's more like 60,000 active sellers, right? Like versus seller accounts that came out in some earnings call or whatever. But not everybody's going to have success with. You might live out in the boonies. You want to do retail arbitrage because you have a low budget. Like that's just not going to happen, right? Like you might want to do online arbitrage, but you really struggle with statistics and graphs and analysis. And like, it's just not going to happen. You might want to look at CreateSpace and be like, this really works. But you know what? They are not going to write. Like, it's just not going to happen. Right. But merch is the simplest one because this isn't like CreateSpace. You have to go look at the best selling books and be like, okay, Harry Potter, let me see. How can I outsource the writing of the next Harry Potter? No, that's not going to happen. But I can go look at the top selling shirts. I can do some analysis and be like, hey, yoga, cats, chocolate, and wine seem to be pretty popular. Maybe I should make some shirts like that. And for pennies, well, hey, for free, you can watch videos straight from Adobe and Photoshop and Illustrator and learn how to use those programs. Or for very little money, you can say, hey, I want to hire you to make these simple text-based design t-shirts. And it's completely free to use merch by Amazon. You put them up. Something happens. If you get a sale, either organically because you're promoting on Facebook, another free thing, not paid promotion, but hustling on Facebook, trying to find people who would care, who would give a crap about your listings. Do that. And when they sell, Amazon's going to do all the work and you start earning royalties. Like, that's the lowest, like, anybody can do that. And I've talked to so many people, from the multi-million dollar sellers to the hustler grandmas who are like, I need to make some extra money. Merch is the one thing that I feel anybody can do. The only reason, like, someone shouldn't do merch is because they have such a good thing going that taking time away from that would be a distraction. But even then, I would say, for Pete's sakes, if you just take like $5,000 and throw, like, hire someone to run a VA business and make some shirts, it's still going to pay you back more than $5,000.
Well, the,
it might grow into it. That's what Kyle and Matt and Brendan are doing.
Right. For $1,000, you get 100 designs. I think it's like 100 designs. And the keywords, basically the titles. So virtually, it's upload for $1,000 investment, and then hopefully you make your $1,000 back, and a bunch of them stick, and then you grow from there. I mean, it seems like a pretty reasonable business plan.
Yeah, and if you don't have $1,000, that's fine. Do it yourself. You either have time or money. If you have no time and no money, then I can't help you, right?
Cut grass, because I just heard a guy on Dave Ramsey's thing talking about he's got $2 million put away from cutting grass. So I don't want to downplay that. That's what he did, and he made $2 million. If that's, that might be your way, right?
Right, but if you want to cut grass, you've got to do it at certain times of the day, right? Like, there are limitations.
Well, he lives in Florida. That helps, right? Oh, so he's probably always, that also helps, right?
I mean, there's always stuff to do in Florida. But what I love about merch and all these other Amazon platforms is you can do them any time of the day, right? You can start and stop anytime you want. You can put the kids to bed, then you can work at night. You can stop watching television. I mean, I know the Spurs and the Golden State game was really good. You could choose not to watch it and work for 3 hours on your merch business. Like, we all have time or we have money, right? If you don't have time, you have money, you hire an outsource. If you don't have money but you have time, you do it yourself and you learn along the way. But there should be no complaining, because seriously, go on YouTube and search for anything with the word Photoshop in there, and they're going to show you a video: how to make distressed text, how to fade, how to do everything. It's all free. All you do is sit there and watch it. And Photoshop's now $10 a month, and I'm sure they give you a free trial. There's all kinds of programs coming out that are letting you design these things for free. You can design them on your phone. Like, it's crazy, and this is like early merch. It's just T-shirts. You're gonna have the hoodies and the hats and the sweatshirts and the socks,
coffee mugs and
phone cases
pens
and the mugs.
Yep.
It's gonna get bigger and bigger and better. It's gonna be international. It's gonna be even faster. I mean, they have committed to this program, and that's what I keep going back to. This is the biggest opportunity for the most people, and I don't want it to be like this is like everybody should do it. Like, hey, maybe. Like J.K. Rowling or whoever wrote Harry Potter, she should not be on merch. I mean, she should hire her team to get some Harry Potter stuff to make merch, not on Amazon, just merchandise in general. But she's the writer. She needs to do what she's good at. She needs to, like focus. And that's what all the big players do. They go all in on their strengths.
And that'd be the entrepreneur, right? Because they're going to hire a team that's going to put together all those and take advantage of those opportunities. Hey, tell me this. One of the things that you get, and I think your skill set is you pay attention, right? You really do seem to pay attention. You're watching what people are doing. You're watching what's going on in the market. What else is next, you think? Where is Amazon going next?
Well, clearly there's a push for Amazon's voice-enabled products, right? The Amazon Show just got released, or the Echo Show or Alexa Show, whatever it's called. It's just on pre-order right now. So whenever you guys are listening to this on replay, like, we recorded this while the show was in pre-order, right? It's the first screen, like, visual-enabled Alexa device. And, of course, there's the Echo Dot, which is the smallest Alexa device. They got the big one that came out first. They've got the Tap speaker. And it's all connected, right? And there's rumors that Apple's going to come out with a Siri-based standalone product for your house, which is going to be tough because Amazon's got a huge head start on
it. And then Google's right behind Amazon with theirs.
Google's got their own. I mean, that should be a clear signal that, you know, Amazon, Google, and Apple all believe in, like, a voice-enabled kind of future, right? So where can you plug yourself into that, right? And here's what I would say I'm good at. When you say I'm not an entrepreneur, this is 100% what I would self-identify as being good at, is seeing these things happen and figuring out, all right, where can we step in? Where can we plug ourselves in and get a little piece of this? Often with no money, no investment, nothing, right? So if you say, look, clearly Apple, Amazon, and Google are all in on this, right? And what can you do with these things? They're selling these plugs. You can like turn on your lights, right? You can turn on the overhead lights and all, like everything's gonna become voice controlled. Well, you know what? People are gonna have trouble installing these things. People are not gonna know how to do it. As this home automation becomes, you know, more mainstream, there's gonna be people that have to retrofit their houses. Like our house is not a new house, right? A lot of our plugs are the double plugs. They're not the three prong plugs, right? Like just for example, just to say, look, this is me. If I wanted to automate my house, I would have to do some rewiring. I would have to install some things. I might say, you know what? I'd rather hire someone to do that. Or I might say, you know what? I'm going to go on YouTube and look for some videos about how to do this. So if you know how to do these things and you get ahead of the market and you're the first one out there with a video about how to turn on your TV with Alexa, and in the bottom, you've got an affiliate link to Amazon or a link to your free like download guide about how to automate your house using Amazon products. They download that. Now they join your email list. Now you have an audience. Now you have a podcast about home automation. Mm-hmm. Like if that's what you're into, pay attention and say, I love home automation. I don't love selling on Amazon, or I don't love this. I see how I can plug myself in with this home automation stuff. It's not just like, here's the answer, Steve. It's home automation is the next big.
No.
Big deal.
I get what you're saying. It's so you're saying, look at those next opportunities. So where Amazon's going is in this voice. And so there are just a myriad of opportunities.
Yeah, where, be first.
Yeah, be first. And I, you know what it's drawn me back to is I just saw somebody hiring Alexa programmers, whole bunches of them. And I'm thinking.
Oh, Alexa has its own API. You can make apps for Alexa yourself.
How long has this existed?
Oh, at least a few months, if not longer.
Now like think about that, though. It's going to be a whole industry, and it's a couple months old.
Here's sourcing. Alexa, what's the FBA payout for the Fisher-Price Big Wheels Tonka toy? Right? And by that title, you should be able to find the ASIN, run a little FBA calculator on the back, and it comes back and says, the payout is 1977, whatever it is, right? And then you can sell that as a subscription or a one-time thing or free. Right, Amazon's doing all the heavy lifting. You have to program this thing once.
God, you get me excited. Right? See, there I go. Right now, I'm already out there. Like, all right, Steve.
See, that's very niche, right?
You got a voice for radio. You could be doing Alexa. I could be Alex. Hey, this is Alex here. You know, it's just funny. You say that. You start thinking this way. Like, you just exploded my head with more opportunities. I'm like, no, Chris Green, stop it.
No, find a group of people like sellers. What do they need? What would a seller sitting there packing ask Alexa? Right, like Alexa, when's the last UPS
pickup
today?
Exactly, that's exactly. Hey Alexa, what's the lead time to get a 3-inch tape delivered? You know, or I mean things that they need, right? Because they're buying time. If they can keep working and doing those things, right? I mean that makes sense. Alexa, could you order dinner and have it? Blah 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 blah. Right? I mean, it just makes sense. It makes so much sense.
But all that's right. All it is, though, right? Like, and that's what I'm good at. So when something new comes out, I'm like, how can either I use it, or how can other people use it? And if you can identify a way that other people can use new technology, you have a business. You can go help a school set up a WhisperCast network, which no one's gonna know what we're talking about, and I'm not even gonna explain it. You guys got to Google that one. All right, Google WhisperCast. And figure it out, try to understand what it is, and then be like, ooh, I get who could use this. Exactly. Well, guess what? You now have a valuable thing that you can go in and teach and offer to schools or organizations or businesses. And if you bring value to other people, guess what? You get to charge money. And if you feel bad about charging money for your time, then you got to look yourself in the mirror and be like, well, apparently I'm not bringing value to anybody. Because if you don't bring value, you don't deserve money for your time. But if you can say, I provide value, then you can say, and I'm going to charge for it. I ain't free.
You've been doing this a long time. You still sound excited about it.
I love it, dude. Like, this is amazing, the time we get to live in. I mean, I only wish I was like 10, 20 years younger. So, like you can see more of what's coming. This is all evolving right in front of us. And, like, if you don't see these opportunities, it's like, holy smokes, like, what are you doing? Like this is the time where we get to do what we enjoy, make money doing it, and then enjoy life. We don't have to do the 10 to 12-hour days so we can earn enough money to do what we want. We can earn money doing what we like anyway, right? And we just have so many options. It's great, but it's also the curse. Right?
Oh, I agree.
We have so many options that there is the opportunity cost of not doing some of the things you want to do so that you can do and be the best at some of the things that you're better at doing. And that's probably one of my bigger struggles. I want to do all of it.
Well, as long as it's not your health, your family, your friends, you know, those things, those opportunity costs generally are okay to give up. But those other, when you give up your health, your family, your relationships, those things, that's the problem, your integrity. All right, so let's do this because you're blowing my mind. This is why you are every 100. This is why. Because now, because it's the value. You kind of, you bring us back to this point because my, you know, my goal of my podcast is to help people get unstuck. You only gave, I think, 68 ways to get unstuck. I mean, I was counting on a few more. I'm serious though, because it's true. You're not saying don't give up. You know, you're now have a skill set. You don't want to sell? Great. But you learned how to sell. Guess what? You can now go help others sell, right? There you go. Boom. You can open up a prep center, right? If you don't want to, because, and I always think of Dale Sellmeyer. He's a great example, right? Doesn't really want to sell as much as he can, but he's a great prep center guy. So what does he do? He opens up a prep center for himself, right? That's his thing. Brendan Sullivan, right? Him and Mark Cirillo. They run a great operation because that's their thing. That's their lane. Nate McAllister. He's in his lane.
You can help people with suspensions. You can help people. Yeah. I mean, I can't believe there are not more services who sit there and say, send me a product and a few $100s, and I'm going to make you an incredible product page with lifestyle photos. And you could do that at home in like a little studio, do it after your kids go to bed. And if you provide a good service, people are going to line up to do that.
Well, it's viral launch. Why is Casey killing it right now? I mean, I'm going to see Casey this week. He is killing it because guess what? They offer the services that are very difficult to do individually, and they give you a whole package of them. They're like, hey, here you go. Here's a whole thing. And he's killing it.
Yeah. But you break it down. What is it? He's providing value to other people, and he's charging for it.
Yep. And not apologizing for it. And people are lining up saying, please. Right. No, I agree.
You can compete with this stuff. I mean, I say that. And that's what Casey's like, hey, don't tell anybody to get in our business. Like, dude, Casey knows. Anybody can step in. And that's why you have to compete. So Casey's got to be the best. And if you can beat him, good. Because then the end user wins. Right. If you come in, you're like, whoa, he's really good. It's going to make Casey step up and be like, I got to get even better.
All right.
Which is good. That's good for all of us.
I'm wrapping us up because you're going to be around in 2 weeks. You are going to be, I guess this is coming out just before the Rocky Mountain Conference in Denver. And you're going to be there. And what are you speaking about there, Chris?
Speaking about merch by Amazon. I'm going to have like all the latest updates. There are probably things that haven't even happened with merch that will happen by the time, you know, RMRC comes along. So I'll bring everybody the latest updates and hopefully just get people excited and kind of set them on the right path.
Okay. And here's the thing I want people to think about. There's going to be a couple hundred people at this thing. If you don't know Chris Green and you're sitting there saying, I would love to bend Chris's ear. I'd love to spend 5 minutes with Chris. Here's my trick. Buy him not a Miller Lite because I'm the Miller Lite guy. Buy him some beer. It doesn't matter. And bring it up to him saying, hey, you know, my name is Steve. You're Chris Green. Could I talk to you for a few minutes? Boom. That's what it would take, wouldn't it, Chris?
That's really all it would take is that law of reciprocity. I'm not going to turn down a beer. I'm certainly not going to like not talk to somebody. I'm going to talk to everybody that I can. You know, I usually try to stay up as late as possible. You know, I don't know when I'm speaking. So, you know, maybe I have to go to bed if I'm like speaking early one day. But, you know, it's about providing value to other people. If I can go in and help as many people as possible, that doesn't just benefit other people. It benefits me, right? Like I'll selfishly tell you, there's no secret here. By helping other people, you will benefit. By me helping other people, I benefit. So take that advice. And when you go to a conference, go in there with the mindset of I'm going to help as many people as I possibly can, as many people as I can meet. I'm going to help them. Have that mentality. You will be the one that benefits. It's like selfish backwards logic, but it works. It's so freeing. You just go in and help people.
Love it.
And
love
you're
it,
the one it. Who benefits. Like no if doubt. No one's ever done that, try it.
Love it. Love it. Love it. So this is your chance. If you're on the fence and you don't want to spend the few $100, I think it's $500 or $600 it is now to invest for the Rocky Mountain Conference and you get to go and spend a few minutes with Chris Green, you're missing an opportunity. Please, please, please. I don't benefit in any way. I don't get paid anything. I see the value. Every time I go to a lot of these things. Every time I'm there, I learn so much and I walk away like, man, I learned so much from this opportunity.
And don't just come for me. There's a ton of, I mean, the lineup of speakers is pretty insane.
The first speaker is the most impressive. That's me.
But come, whatever it is, whatever you guys need, come and find that person, right? If it's me, absolutely. Come find me. If not, find whoever it is. It's not that me or Steve need like validation or we're not doing it for the free beers, okay? Like we're doing it because we just want to help you guys. We're there. This isn't isolated. escalating business where often it's hard to like be in the same room with other people who do what we do, think the way we think. So you're going to have that opportunity. Take advantage of it.
All right, Chris, best email way to get in touch with you?
Email at chris@chrisgreen.com.
That's a tough spelling. That's a tough spelling. chrisgreen.com.
Plain reading, that's the website as well. If you're on Facebook and want to send me a message, the best way, this is going to be kind of new for you guys, but try it out. Go in and type in the letter m.me/Chris and see what happens. It's going to go to Messenger. It's going to send them. It's fancy. And you guys can do that as well with your business pages and profiles. Just replace Chris with your business page name or your profile name. It's fancy. m.me/Chris. I love it. I could talk about that for an hour.
All right. You're not today. All right. Not thank today. You, my friend. I will catch you shortly, another week or two. And then I'll be looking. I can't wait for episode 300. I'm telling you, because every time I learn something new and I get so excited. And I think, you know, it kind of brings people back. I think you're kind of a, I don't know what that word is I'm looking for, where you bring people back to center almost, it feels like. You just center
like
people.
Like a reset button or something.
Yeah, like a reset. I'm going to call you Reset Chris. Hey, thank sure. you so much, man. I wish you nothing but success. Take care.
Thanks.
So you have a chance to see Chris at Rocky Mountain, and I know I pitched quite a bit of it. I just want to see those guys do well because they put a lot of effort and energy to put this thing together, and I don't benefit in any possible way, but I just see the benefit for you. So please consider going to meet Chris Green face-to-face at Rocky Mountain Conference. ecommercemomentum.com, ecommercemomentum.com. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. All the links mentioned today can be found at ecommercemomentum.com under this episode number. Please remember to subscribe and like us on iTunes.